You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is a reserved double portion by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Highlight that verse, but specifically where it says, rejoice in their portion, because we're going to deal with that tonight. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Everybody say, my portion. My portion. See, this is addressed to specific people, and God said, there is a portion for you. And say it again, say, my portion. You don't have to worry about getting somebody else's portion. God got a portion for you. Somebody say, my portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double, and everlasting joy shall be unto them. Now, back up to 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. 1 Samuel 9, verse 23. And it reads, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Samuel. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. I want to speak tonight from the subject, a reserved double portion. A reserved double portion. Look, somebody say, I have a reserved double portion. Now, let me give you a little background, because we're going to really dig into this incident or this story account of Saul's journey to become the first king of the nation of Israel. And Saul, first of all, was the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like other nations. They said God had, they had a theocracy. Other people had monarchies. And they wanted, they didn't want a nation led by God. They wanted a nation where they had a man as a representative. God had, prior to this time, had judges. Among the judges, we know there were people like Samson and Deborah, who were judges. And the judges, they were anointed men and or women of God who would hear God and make decisions for the people. But they wanted to be like other people, so they wanted a man who would be their king. And God said, well, I'm going to allow you to have your king, but I'm going to choose the man. That's a word right there for some single women. I said, I know you want a man, but can you let me choose him? Oh, come on now. I didn't come here to talk about that, but I just felt something right there. You really, really, really want a man. God said, I know you want a man, but can I please choose him? Because I know what you need better than you know what you need. And so God sets out to choose a man to be the first king of Israel. The interesting thing about it is that when the Bible tells us about Saul, it's really not very spiritual, the initial introduction that we have to Saul. It tells us about his father, which I'll go into a moment, but then it says that he was goodlier than any other man in Israel. That meant he was better looking than anybody else. It talked about his physical attributes. It said there was nobody in all Israel better looking than Saul. Somebody said, yes, yeah, that's the type of man I want, Lord. You can choose that kind of man for me, Jesus. Then the Bible says he was extremely tall. It said his shoulders stood above anybody else in Israel. So he was tall and good looking. Oh, what you talking about? So that's the initial introduction that we have to Saul. And I could really go into that so much deeper, because when he actually had one of the shortest reigns of kings. As fine as he was, as tall as he was, he ended up not obeying God. as tall as he was, and maybe because he was too fine, he started smelling himself. He wouldn't humble himself. And God, the same God who chose him, ended up rejecting him. So you need more than just fine. You need divine. But Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was Jacob's, Benjamin, if we remember, was Jacob's baby son after Joseph. Remember, he was the one from the pretty wife. He had two children from her. Okay, who was that? That was Rachel. Okay, and Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And Jacob really loved those children. Okay, remember, he got stuck with the other woman. This is the one he really wanted. And he had two children from her, Joseph, and then his brother Benjamin. And when Joseph was sold into slavery, Jacob thought he was dead. And then when Joseph was in Egypt, kind of messing with his brothers because he was still alive and they didn't know that he was now the prime minister, he said, next time you come back here, bring your brother. And the last thing Jacob wanted to do was to send Benjamin. Benjamin was precious. Benjamin was precious. And Benjamin, it means son of my right hand. The one who's closest to me. The one who's precious. It implies one who is preferred and one who is special. And Saul, this Saul here, who's the first king of Israel, was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was Jacob's baby son. And Saul's father's name was Kish. K-I-S-H. Now, Kish means bent. I started meditating on this. Kish means bent. Now, he was a wealthy man. He was a man of power, the Bible says. He had wealth. He was rich. He was rich and wealthy, but obviously some things have been lost. He was bent. And sometimes we have good parents, but they bent. And God brings us along to straighten things out in the generations. Sometimes we come from families who are bent in a direction that's not that's not godly. God has to reshape and bend things back to the way it should be so that he can release the blessing that he wants on our families. And so now we have Saul, the son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin. And Saul, the name Saul, it means desired. Everybody say desired. Saul means desired. I guess that goes along with him being so good looking. Because most folks don't desire folks who ain't too good looking. But he was very good looking. He was handsome. And the name Saul means desired. I thought about that because he was desired by God, because God chose him. And he was desired by the people. And remember, even the Saul of the New Testament, before his name was changed to Paul. When God tells Ananias who he's called, who he's chosen, he said, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name to the Gentile. So it means chosen. It means desired. And Saul was desired and chosen by God and desired by the people. Now, his father, Kish, had lost two asses or donkeys, and he sent his son Saul on a menial journey on a low-level mission, on a brainless assignment to just go find his asses, just to go find his donkeys. Now, this is the man who ends up being king, but his first assignment was, can you just go find those donkeys? Not horses, not sheep, just go find the donkeys. And he was sent to handle some business by his father and for his father. And throughout this message, I'm going to highlight several prophetic words that the Lord told me to give you. And here's the first one for this message. In 2019, be about your father's business. Look, somebody say, I got to be about my father's business. We remember when they were looking for Jesus. They have been looking for Jesus for about 2 or 3 days. Now, how you lose your child for 2 days? It was after a couple days they realized he wasn't with them. Okay? I guess he was supposed to be with some other relative. They thought he was somewhere in the caravan. And they realized that they've left him probably in Jerusalem. And so that when they go back to find him, and they finally find Jesus, this is at the age of 12, and said, Jesus, what are you trying to do? Give us a heart attack? You're trying to stress us out? And Jesus said, you've been looking for me? He said, no, you're not. I must be about my Father's business. They found him. He found him in the temple. In other words, Jesus was saying, well, where did you look? Where were you looking? Why didn't you come here first? You know I wouldn't be at the club. Because I'm about my Father's business. You know I wouldn't be down there by week. I'm about my Father's business. No, I'm not at the latest dance club. I'm about my Father's business. And Jesus said, well, why didn't you come here first? And so I want to encourage many of you in prophetic word for 2019, for many of you, make a decision to be about your Father's business. Somebody say, I got to be about my Father's business. And the reason why you got to be about your Father's business, here's another prophetic word for you, 2019, because faithfulness in little things will produce a big harvest. Say that with me. Say, faithfulness in little things will produce a big harvest. It amazes me, people who have these great visions of grandeur about what they're going to do, where they're called to be, all that they want to do, but they will not be faithful in little things. People will come to me and talk to me and ask me, Pastor, how can I help? What can I do? And I'll mention some little thing, and I can see the look on their face. That ain't what they had in mind. But it's faithfulness in little things that's going to produce a big harvest. In the words of Chandler Bailey, wax on, wax off. It's the small things. What, and sometimes we wonder, why does God have me doing this? What, this isn't noteworthy. Nobody sees me. I don't really see how this connects with the big picture. But it's faithfulness in little things that's going to produce big harvest for you in 2019. Because, catch this, the double is in the details. The Lord spoke that to me as I was riding home last night. The double is in the details. I know you've always heard that a different way. I didn't say the devil's in the detail. The double is in the detail. The little things. Naaman almost died a leper. If it were not for someone on his staff, one of his assistants, who said, man, General, the man of God, I know you didn't want to come down here, but the man of God said, just go dip in the Jordan and 7 times and you'll be made whole. You'll be clean. And Naaman's initial thing was, well, listen, come on. Of all the rivers that we have in Damascus, I gotta go in this muddy river and dip 7 times. And so the question really was presented, how bad do you want it? He said, because if he told you to do some big thing, if he told you had to go conquer some territory or kill 100 men, you probably would do that. He said, he asked you to do just a little thing. Couldn't you just dip? Sometimes dipping requires humbling ourselves, because we so high that we don't want to get down and do that little thing. But can you dip? Because the double is going to come through dipping. Sometimes doing things you don't want to do. Now, I came along at a time in the church where the pastor, the bishop, asked us to do something, and we just did it. Now, I'm going to go walking deep here tonight, walking heavy on. ever, ever would say to Bishop Bailey, Apostle Carter, when they ask me to do something, I'll pray about it. Oh, you're going to pray about it. Oh, okay. Because we considered it an honor and a privilege that of all the people that could have been asked, you asked me. Can I tell you, I've experienced a double in my life because I did a whole lot of things that I wouldn't dare pray about. I just did it because I was asked to do it. I did it because I was told to do it. Can I be honest? Let me be completely honest with you. Sometimes I had to get my attitude together. I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it anyway. I got my attitude right on the way. While I was doing it, I don't want to be doing it. Why y'all gonna have me doing it? But God helped me do it right. I worked it out as I went, as I was doing, as I was serving. Look, somebody say the doubles in the details. Come on, the doubles in dipping. Luke 16 and 10. This is a principle of scripture. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. I'm going to give you that from three other translations. Verse 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? And said, so sometimes, watch this, you're doing little things for another man. You're doing little things for another woman. It may not be what you want to do. It may not be your highest skill set. You could have talent and ability that far exceeds that, but you won't have an opportunity to use that higher talent, that higher ability, if you won't first be faithful in the little things. Let me listen, give you those verses from the New Living Translation. Luke 16, 10, and also verse 12. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? That means you actually have to keep the apartment clean before you get your own house. That means if you happen to get a rental car, and most of them, when you try to get cheapest cars, ain't gonna be a problem. But if you get a rental car and it requires premium gas, simply because it ain't your car, you don't go put diesel in it. Well, it's not mine. God said, you will show that you're ready for the double by how you treat other people's stuff. You will show you are ready to run your own company by how faithful you are in this company. Y'all don't like this, huh? Is it? The Message Translation. Three translations. The Message Translation, those same verses. If you're dishonest in small things, you'll be dishonest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? God said, you're going to show you're ready for the double. Well, I said, by how you handle the single. Yeah. Well, this ain't nothing. No. God said, be faithful. Get your attitude together. Be consistent in it. Do it with excellence, because you're showing me that you are ready for more by how you treat the one talent. So Saul's instructed by his father, the one who's going to end up being king, he was instructed by his father to go try to find these donkeys, these asses that have been missing for a couple days now. And then Saul was instructed by his father to take one of the servants with him to go find the asses. Take one of the servants with you. Now, this tells me he has some discretion. His father didn't tell him, take a particular servant. Now, he's a wealthy man. So most likely, he has several servants. He had a plethora of servants. He had a staff of servants. There were different people he could have chosen. But he chose this, a one particular servant to go with him. Here's a prophetic word for 2019. Choose carefully who you take along with you. Because we're going to see why it was important for this person to be with him. I believe we can miss out on a double because we got the wrong people with us. Abraham realized that. Abraham told Lot, you got to go. You got to left here. God promised you he's going to bless me. He's going to bless those that bless me. He's going to make my name great. And I'm getting caught up in all this strife and this drama with you. I don't have time for this. I got a promise over my life. And wherever you go, I'll go the opposite direction. But obviously, we can't go together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That means y'all got to be on the same page. You got to have the same vision. You got to have the same values. You have to have the same desires. You have to have the same mentality. And sometimes you're not making progress because you're too busy arguing about which way you should be going. Paul and Silas ended up parting because Paul said, no, when I mess around with John Mark no more, when I mess around with him, last time he was slothful and he was just a weight. He didn't want to work. He was lazy. And Barnabas insisted that he should go with them. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted from each other. And we never heard about Barnabas again. Look to your neighbor and say, be careful who you take with you. So now Saul, he's looking for his father's asses. Can y'all handle it when I say asses? That's what the Bible says, right? We qualify this every time we go to say it. Ass a donkey, asses. As a matter of fact, it sounds better if I say asses. Because it's a menial task. That's what I want you to see here. It was a menial task. He was looking for his father's asses for 3 days. Listen to me, y'all. Through mountainous terrain. For 3 days through mountainous terrain. When you're going through mountainous terrain, there are hills and valleys. When you go through mountainous terrain, there's peaks and lows. When you go through mountainous terrain, there's ups and downs. Have any of y'all been through any mountainous terrain? Where you have some peaks and valleys. Where you have some highs and lows. Where you have some ups and downs. And so, he's on his way trying to find his father's asses because he told him to. Chooses a particular servant to go along with him to help him. And the first place we see he goes to look for him is a place called Ephraim. And so, the interesting thing, Ephraim, the name literally means double ash heap. Double ash heap. And it means I shall be doubly fruitful. Now, I had to meditate on this a while because it didn't say a double gold heap. It says double ash heap. Ashes are what's left after something's been consumed. The only way you can look at double ashes and believe you're going to be doubly fruitful, you got to take God at his word that he said, I'm going to give you beauty for those ashes.
Experience double favor, double blessing, double anointing this year. Bishop Herbert, Dr. Marsha, and Pastor Chandler Bailey will help to ignite your expectation as you believe God for double in 2019. Order this timely 3-part series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for the 2019 New Year's Revival.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.